Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. You know, one of the things I saw this year that I've never seen before in my past is that people did not take the Trump signs out of their yard. A lot of people didn't, until after the inauguration. After the inauguration, they took the Trump signs down. And I still have some stuck in my big garage doors out there. So,
yeah.
But there was I would say maybe 5% of the people kept the Trump signs in their yards, okay? I never seen that before. All right, we're going to talk about Trump went to Davos, and he had a message for the entire New World Order. And so go ahead and bring that message on, Style.
Trump.
Well, thank you very much, Klaus, and hello to everyone in beautiful Davos. This has been a truly historic week in the United States. 3 days ago, I took the oath of office, and we began the golden age of America. The recent presidential election was won by millions of votes, and all seven swing states. It was a massive mandate from the American people, like hasn't been seen in many years, and some of the political pundits, even some of my so-called enemies, said it was the most consequential election victory in 129 years. That's quite nice. What the world has witnessed in the past 72 hours is nothing less than a revolution of common sense. Our country will soon be stronger, wealthier, and more united than ever before, and the entire planet will be more peaceful and prosperous as a result of this incredible momentum and what we're doing and going to do. My administration is acting with unprecedented speed to fix the disasters we've inherited from a totally inept group of people and to solve every single crisis facing our country. This begins with confronting the economic chaos caused by the failed policies of the last administration. Over the past 4 years, our government racked up $8 trillion in wasteful deficit spending and inflicted nation-wrecking energy restrictions, crippling regulations, and hidden taxes like never before. The result is the worst inflation crisis in modern history and sky-high interest rates for our citizens and even throughout the world. Food prices and the price of almost every other thing known to mankind went through the roof. President Biden totally lost control of what was going on in our country, but in particular with our high inflation economy and at our border. Because of these ruinous policies, total government spending this year is $1.5 trillion higher than was projected to occur when I left office just 4 years ago. Likewise, the cost of servicing the debt is more than 230% higher than was projected in 2020. The inflation rate we are inheriting remains 50% higher than the historic target. It was the highest inflation probably in the history of our country. That's why from the moment I took office, I've taken rapid action to reverse each and every one of these radical left policies that created this calamity, in particular with immigration, crime, and inflation. On day one, I signed an executive order directing every member of my cabinet to marshal all powers at their disposal to defeat inflation and reduce the cost of daily life. I imposed a federal hiring freeze, a federal regulation freeze, a foreign aid freeze, and I created the new Department of Government Efficiency. I terminated the ridiculous and incredibly wasteful Green New Deal, I call it the Green New Scam, withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord and ended the insane and costly electric vehicle mandate. We're going to let people buy the car they want to buy. I declared a national energy emergency, and that's so important, national energy emergency to unlock the liquid gold under our feet and pave the way for rapid approvals of new energy infrastructure. The United States has the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on earth, and we're going to use it. Not only will this reduce the cost of virtually all goods and services, it'll make the United States a manufacturing superpower, and the world capital of artificial intelligence and crypto. My administration has also begun the largest deregulation campaign in history, far exceeding even the record-setting efforts of my last term. In total, the Biden administration imposed $50,000 in additional regulatory costs on the average American household over the last 4 years. I have promised to eliminate 10 old regulations for every new regulation, which will soon put many thousands of dollars back in the pockets of American families. To further unleash our economy, our majorities in the House and Senate, which we also took along with the presidency, are going to pass the largest tax cut in American history, including massive tax cuts for workers and family, and big tax cuts for domestic producers and manufacturers. And we're working with the Democrats on getting an extension of the original Trump tax cuts, as you probably know, by just reading any paper. My message to every business in the world is very simple. Come make your product in America, and we will give you among the lowest taxes of any nation on earth. We're bringing them down very substantially, even from the original Trump tax cuts. But if you don't make your product in America, which is your prerogative, then very simply, you will have to pay a tariff, differing amounts, but a tariff which will direct hundreds of billions of dollars and even trillions of dollars into our treasury to strengthen our economy and pay down debt. Under the Trump administration, there will be no better place on earth to create jobs, build factories, or grow a company than right here in the good old USA. Already, Americans, economic, and you can see this, I think, maybe even in your wonderful, wonderful room that you're all gathered together, so many of my friends, but Americans, the economic confidence is soaring like we haven't seen in many, many decades, maybe not at all. Upon my election, it was just announced that small business optimism skyrocketed by 41 points in a single month. That's the highest ever. There's never been anything like that. SoftBank has announced between a $100 and $200 billion investment in the U.S. economy because of the election result. And just 2 days ago, Oracle, SoftBank, and OpenAI announced a $500 billion investment in AI infrastructure. Other companies likewise have announced billions and billions and billions, adding up to trillions of investment in America, in the United States. And it's also reported today in the papers that Saudi Arabia will be investing at least $600 billion in America. But I'll be asking the Crown Prince, who's a fantastic guy, to round it out to around $1 trillion. I think they'll do that because we've been very good to them. And I'm also going to ask Saudi Arabia and OPEC to bring down the cost of oil. You got to bring it down, which, frankly, I'm surprised they didn't do before the election. That didn't show a lot of love by them not doing it. I was a little surprised by that. If the price came down, the Russia-Ukraine war would end immediately. Right now, the price is high enough that that war will continue. You got to bring down the oil price. You got to end that war. They should have done it long ago. They're very responsible, actually, to a certain extent, for what's taking place. Millions of lives are being lost. With oil prices going down, I'll demand that interest rates drop immediately, and likewise, they should be dropping all over the world. Interest rates should follow us. All over the progress that you're seeing is happening because of our historic victory in a recent presidential election, one that has become quite well known throughout the world. I think a lot of things are happening to a lot of countries. They say that there's light shining all over the world since the election, and even countries that we aren't particularly friendly with are happy because they understand what there is a future and how great the future will be. Under our leadership, America is back and open for business. And this week, I'm also taking swift action to stop the invasion at our southern border. They allowed people to come in at levels that nobody's ever seen before. It was ridiculous. I decided and declared, and very, very importantly, a national emergency on our border immediately halted all entry of illegal border crossers, of which there were many, and began promptly returning the illegal trespassers back to the place from which they came. That action, as you've probably seen, has already started very strongly. I've deployed active duty U.S. military and National Guard troops to the border to assist in repelling the invasion. It was really an invasion. We will not allow our territory to be violated. After 4 long years, the United States is strong and sovereign and a beautiful nation. Once again, it's a strong, sovereign nation. In addition, I'm pleased to report that America is also a free nation once again. On day one, I signed an executive order to stop all government censorship. No longer will our government label the speech of our own citizens as misinformation or disinformation, which are the favorite words of censors and those who wish to stop the free exchange of ideas and, frankly, progress. We have saved free speech in America, and we've saved it strongly. With another historic executive order this week, I also ended the weaponization of law enforcement against the American people and, frankly, against politicians, and restored the fair, equal, and impartial rule of law. My administration has taken action to abolish all discriminatory diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense. And these are policies that were absolute nonsense throughout the government and the private sector. With the recent yet somewhat unexpected great Supreme Court decision just made, America will once again become a merit-based country. You have to hear that word, merit-based country. And I've made it official, an official policy of the United States, that there are only 2 genders, male and female. And we will have no men participating in women's sports, and transgender operations, which became the rage, will occur very rarely. Finally, as we restore common sense in America, we're moving quickly to bring back strength and peace and stability abroad. I'm also going to ask all NATO nations to increase defense spending to 5% of GDP, which is what it should have been years ago. It was only at 2%, and most nations didn't pay until I came along. I insisted that they pay, and they did, because the United States was really paying the difference at that time, and it was unfair to the United States. But many, many things have been unfair for many years to the United States. Before even taking office, my team negotiated a ceasefire agreement in the Middle East, which wouldn't have happened without us, as I think most of the people in the room know. Earlier this week, the hostages began to return to their families. They are returning, and it's a beautiful sight, and they'll be coming in more and more. They started coming back on Sunday. Our efforts to secure a peace settlement between Russia and Ukraine are now hopefully underway. It's so important to get that done. That is an absolute killing field. Millions of soldiers are being killed. Nobody's seen anything like it since World War II. They're laying dead all over the flat fields. It's a flat field farmland, and there's millions of Russians and millions of Ukrainians. Nobody's seen anything like it since World War II. It's time to end it. And here in America, we have big events coming up. Next year, we have the 250th anniversary of America's founding. I'm so honored to be president during that. That's been a big event. They've been talking about it for 10 years. We also have the World Cup. And I understand Gianni's in the room. Infantino, he was very instrumental in helping us get it. He's there with you someplace, I think. And I want to thank him for that. And then we have the Olympics coming up, which I was instrumental in getting also in my first term. And who would have known that by skipping a term, I would get the Olympics? I was upset. I said, you know, I got the Olympics to come and I won't be president. But it turned out through a stroke of luck, or whatever you might call it, that I'm going to be president during the World Cup and the Olympics and the 250th anniversary. So that's going to be 3 big events. And we've accomplished more in less than 4 days. We have really been working 4 days than other administrations have accomplished in 4 years. And we're just getting started. It's really an amazing thing to see. And the spirit and the light over our country has been incredible. Under the last administration, our nation has suffered greatly. But we're going to bring it back and make it greater, bigger, stronger, better than ever before. I want to thank everybody for being with you. I would have been there myself, except the inauguration was 2 days ago. I thought it might be a little bit quick to make it the first stop. But we'll get there one day. We hope to get there. But I do appreciate, I heard the audience is fantastic, and many of my friends are in the audience. And I will be taking questions now from some very distinguished people. Thank
you. All righty, we're back, and little Lisa's got an article. Go ahead, do it, Lisa.
Okay, now this
you
got to
give her the sign.
Wait a minute. There you go.
Oh, dear. Anyway, this one's from the Gateway Pundit. And President Trump will pardon pro-lifers that were jailed by the Biden regime for peacefully protesting an abortion clinic. At least 10 pro-life activists were charged with the FACE Act for praying at an abortion mill in October 2020. In one of the more egregious acts of abuse, the Biden DOJ convicted Paula Harlow last year of federal conspiracy against rights and FACE offenses for peacefully protesting an abortion clinic back in 2020. U.S. District Judge Colleen Kolar-Kotelly, a Clinton appointee, sentenced Harlow to 24 months in prison. She was the 10th defendant to be sentenced by the Biden regime related to peaceful abortion protests. She is now 75 years old, participated in a peaceful protest at an abortion mill in 2020, and she didn't hurt anyone. Paulette Harlow, age 75, of Kingston, Massachusetts, was sentenced in U.S. District Court today to 24 months of incarceration for her role in a conspiracy that created a blockade at a Washington, D.C. Reproductive health care clinic, so-called, to prevent the clinic from providing and patients from receiving reproductive health services, the DOJ said in a press release. The judge mocked Paula Harlow's Christian faith when she sentenced her to prison as her husband begged for mercy, expressing his fear his wife would die alone in prison. And the judge taunted the elderly woman and mocked her Christian faith and told her to honor the tenets of her religion and not die in jail.
You know, here, that's a wicked, wicked judge.
Yes.
What a wicked, evil judge.
Yes.
And God bless those two ladies. I mean, here at their age out there.
Yes.
You know, doing that. And, well, you know, and God will bless them. And
yes,
he will. And that wicked George, the judge, will get hers, too. You know, what Trump said about what he's doing, that other nations are picking up on that. We're seeing that. We're seeing here in Canada. We're seeing moving a big push to get a conservative in, and Canada wants to follow in the footsteps of America. But Australia here, global awakening that isn't just about the U.S. across the globe, figures like Ricardo Bozzi, leader of Australia, are echoing Trump's mission. Bozzi calls for sovereignty and justice aligned with tribunal revelations and highlighting a worldwide alliance against corruption. Can you believe that? You know, this parallels between Bozzi and Trump reveal a coordinated effort to dismantle the deep state grip once for and for all. The deep state exposed. The tribunals are shining a light on those who've hidden in the shadows for decades, from rogue FBI agents to global financiers. No one is safe. This is the beginning of the end for a network that has thrived on lies and manipulation. As Heritage's report confirms, Gitmo is the battleground where justice is finally prevailing. So there you go. We're seeing that. Canada, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might see revival one more time before the Lord returns. What do you think, Richard?
It's a good possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were saying before, this is not the time to let our guard down.
No.
Thinking that we can sit back now because Trump's in charge.
No.
Don't let your guard down, brothers and sisters.
No, the deep state is going to fight with everything they have now because they're cornered. And, you know, with this, all these pardons, 8,000 pardons he's given them. That means that from this point on, anything they do, and these are criminal-type people, they can no longer claim the fifth. They either have to admit to it, okay, or that's a federal offense. So they're going to find a way. I still don't understand how you can receive a pardon if you haven't been convicted of a crime, okay?
Yeah.
But that, I guess, Gerry Ford did set a precedent with Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking into this. This is going to be looked into, I think, real clearly.
Yeah, I don't think that's the end of it. I think they're going to examine that with the law very closely, sure.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
How you're being pardoned. First of all, I listened to Joe Biden. We played some clip of his back in 2020 just when Trump was ready to leave. And they asked Biden, what if Trump, can Trump give preemptive pardons to his family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Biden said, the preemptive pardon is an admission of guilt. This mm-hmm. is what Biden said. We have those clips. It's an admission of guilt, okay? And he's right. That's what it is. A preemptive pardon is an admission of guilt. And remember, you had Bill Clinton going on The View saying, Hillary should get a pardon. Hillary should get a pardon. I don't know if he pardoned Hillary. I didn't see her name on the list, okay?
Yeah.
But, of course, I didn't see, but just a small part of the list. I know everybody in that J6 committee, every one of those people belong in jail. Every one of them for what they did to the J6ers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got to go after them. They can't let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Colby belongs in jail. We've watched Merrick Garland. We've watched him lie under oath, lie and lie and lie. And the same thing with Chris Ray.
Yeah.
These people have committed treason. And
that's right.
I see with Milley now, I see that they've taken, Milley also got a pardon. He was one of the first ones.
Hmm.
But they've removed his picture, his portrait from the pentagram, or from the Pentagon. Okay. Maybe that was a fraudulent term. What do you call it? Slip.
Freudian slip.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. Yeah, they better understand, Pastor, that they may think that they got these pardons and have gotten away, but as God's word says, he's not mocked, but a man sows, that shall he also reap. He also said, fret not yourself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down. And so though these people think they have gotten away, they have not. They are going to have to deal with justice one way or the other.
Absolutely. You have an article, Richard, there.
Which one do you want to?
You go for it.
I read two. I think.
Oh, go ahead.
Randy.
Okay.
Randall.
Let's see. Let's deal with this one. Boy, there's so many good articles over here. But following up on some of the things that Trump has done, it says, this one says, this is a number one priority. White House press secretary confirms 1,500 additional troops are being sent to the southern border. It says that this should have been done a long time ago, but the Democrats and many Republicans were too focused on protecting foreign borders and sending hundreds of billions in aid to countries abroad. As the Gateway pundits, Cullen Linebarger reported earlier, President Trump sent at least 1,500 active duty U.S. troops to the southern U.S. border with Mexico on Wednesday. Trump also signed an executive order suspending the physical entry of aliens, praise God, invading our country, including through designated crossings and ports of entry. This comes as ICE has already arrested 300 criminals, and that number has gone up since this article, 300 criminal illegal aliens during Trump's first full day in office, some of which have been charged with violent crimes such as murder and child rape, the Gateway pundit reported. Border czar Tom Homan announced on Tuesday that the mass deportation efforts and illegal alien raids were underway effective today. Mm. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, speaking to the press, confirmed on Wednesday evening that President Trump signed an executive order of 1,500 additional troops to the United States southern border, contributing to his mission to direct the Department of Defense to make Homeland Security a core mission of the agency. The new executive order is in addition to the executive orders he signed Monday within hours of being sworn into office, including designating the cartels as foreign terrorists and revoking several Biden policies on the border, which allowed unchecked illegal immigration. The Trump administration is already saving America from the violent criminals that Biden allowed in over the last 4 years.
Okay, who do you think is going to be the hardest one? I got a good idea who I know is going to be the hardest one of his to be confirmed by the Senate of Trump's appointees.
I don't know.
I can tell you it'll be Kash Patel.
Mm.
They don't want him. I mean, they really don't want him.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And so, anyhow.
From everything I've seen, there has been no pardon for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I don't think, yeah, I haven't seen it. So why do you think that is? Why would he not, okay, when pardon Hillary? Now, let's take a look at that. Remember, back in 2016, when Hillary was, Joe Biden had Obama had told Biden, you know, you're my guy. But then he switched on that, and he told Joe, you got to stand down, Joe. It's going to be Hillary.
Yeah.
Joe was pretty upset about that. I mean, the whole Biden.
Oh, boy.
So that's what kicked off the whole Biden crime family. That's where it really, when they started selling their brand, they started causing it. Okay?
Yeah, this other article talks about this. Schumer secretly met with Joe Biden, urging him to drop out of the 2024 race 1 hour before the assassination attempt on Trump.
What do you think? Do you think that was a coincidence? Do you think there was something there? Okay.
Dear Lord, yeah. And they I read the article, and it was saying that Schumer said, I guess he was practicing, but when he told that there was yelling for, being heard between him and Biden.
Well, again, you know, here. Of course, we do know that, like they say, if you get one of those preemptive pardons, that is an admission of guilt. That is an admission of guilt. Okay, you have to actually have to plead that you were guilty of a crime. You have to admit that you were guilty of a crime.
Right, right.
And so, all of those J6ers, we know the ones that in that J6 committee. They all committed treason. They all committed high treason.
Mm-hmm.
Milley created high treason. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think you could be. I thought that was the one crime you could not be
pardoned for. Yeah. Well, you know, that's where their legal eagles will have to take a look at all of that and see if some of that was illegal to be able to do those pardons.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to play out probably in the courts.
Yeah. But we'll probably hear about that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. All righty. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after this with more. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine, I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners, hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners, I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday, heaven's my way, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise All righty, we're back. You know, just some of the differences between now and, you know, when Trump ran the first time, you know, the deep state, they were coming everywhere. Remember, at the football games, they'd be taking a knee. At the sporting events, mm-hmm. they would be taking. Now they're doing the Trump dance, okay? Ohio State, the Buckeyes have been having prayer meetings, and from what I hear, they've been baptizing people there.
Praise the Lord.
It looks like revival is starting to break out around the country in places.
Yeah.
And that's good. You know, we just talked about Jonah there.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you know, their repentance brought Nineveh 100 years before because they repented. And America needs to repent. And repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. It's going in the other direction.
That's right.
Who knows? We may even see revival break out. We might see people going back to church again.
Yeah.
But we have a real battle ahead of us because the opposition knows, you know, that their time can be short, the old enemy. So
yes.
I see we have Pastor Hal. So bring Pastor Hal up.
How you doing, Pastor?
Doing okay. How are you?
Good, good. You know, I was just reading in the Bible where God says, the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together.
Yes.
And that's Psalm 34, verse 3. And that's what America needs to do to stay in victory because, like you said, the Democrats are going to try a comeback and they're probably going to try, got all kinds of conspiracies going on to get back at Trump. But for God to give us the victory, God gave us the victory in having President Trump get elected, but we have to show gratitude toward God. We have to magnify him and put him the first, you know, like Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As long as America keeps Jesus Christ as their leader, that focused on him and praying to him and trusting him for our survival and our prosperity, that the devil can't do anything against us. But if we don't do that, if we turn back to sin and compromise and stuff like that, then we're going to, you know, start reaping all kinds of bad stuff again. So my message to the people tonight is, you know, put Jesus Christ first. Give him the preeminence in your life, and we need to do that for this country too. And we'll go from victory to victory to victory, and God will defend us from all our enemies.
Well, absolutely. You know, when you know, the Bible says there's, when we just read in Proverbs 16, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end, therefore, is a death. And do you think that what we're going to see, the opposition now, we've been noticing all of a sudden the apostates are coming out of the woodwork, and they're talking, they're spinning, and they're talking about love, okay, diversity, talking about, you know, we need to, I mean, we're going to see this. We're seeing this liberation theology. And, you know, there was a guy named Ernst Mudermann. He was a professor of religion at Tübingen back in the 60s. Because I remember when, you know, this new Enlightenment movement came about, okay? And he hooked up with a guy named Ernst Bloch, who was a professor of Marxism. He taught Marxism, and the two of them got together, and they wrote a book, Mixing the Teachings of Jesus Christ with Karl Marx.
Oh, wow.
Now, Karl Marx was a Satanist, okay? And so, and I remember that, and then that evolved into the Enlightenment movement that came here. If you remember that, where that was the feminization of the pulpit, where they were teaching, well, pastors, and all you had all these the so-called psychologists talking about how pastors needed to be in touch with their feminine parts, right? And even back then, as a young man, I says, listen, I don't think I have any feminine parts, right? How am I going to get in touch with this? And
goodness sakes.
And I remember James Dobson was very concerned with this teaching at that time. He said, this is way off, you know, it's very, very wrong, okay? But I think that that's the direction, one of the things that the opposition is going to use. And by the way, the fastest growing church now today in America is the Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible says the righteous will become more righteous and the wicked will become more wicked. We're seeing that now, right today, in our day. It's happening today.
Pastor, was that on video, what you just talked about?
With what? Which part?
They were talking about the rise of the women and the feminine part, the gentleman you had just mentioned.
The Enlightenment movement. Yeah, that was, that was on talk radio. I don't know if it was on video, but that was that was coming out. They had all these so-called psychologists coming out over radio, talk radio. Yeah.
Wow.
I think that statistic that the largest growing church is the Church of Satan, I think it's even more than it's put off to be, because isn't any church that's not a Church of Christ the Church of Satan?
Yeah.
There's a lot of apostate churches out there that are operating under the guise of a church.
Oh, yeah. Much, much more are not Christian churches at all, okay? Well, the World and National Council of Churches have apostatized, pretty mm-hmm. much completely. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you have witchcraft in the pulpit now, a lot of it, with all of these, virtually all of these women. The Bible says that rebellion and for them to go into the pulpit is rebellion, okay?
Yes. Sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. Yes.
It says witchcraft, yeah.
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, you know what? Let's give I'm going to let the three of you guys, Pastor Hal, you, and these two fellows in here with me, between the three of you, why don't you give a good invitation, because that's the most important part, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, do you want to start off, Pastor Hal?
Okay, I just want to say, first of all, the Bible says, what has light to do with darkness? It's a favorite tactic of the devil after the devil's crowd gets beat to have them come back and say, come, let's have peace, let's have love. God's a God of love, and accept us, accept our ways, accept our, perversions and stuff like that for the sake of love. And that's the worst thing we could do, because God could take back everything, every victory he gave to us if we make it peace, an ecumenical peace with these workers for Satan and everything. God's brought them into judgment, and he wants us to do that judgment. And so we need to be faithful to God to the uttermost. But, the Bible says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And this whole world is being lied to by people telling them that, you got to join their church or their organization or their religion and everything. First of all, every other religion out there outside of following Jesus Christ as your Savior is totally bankrupt. Jesus made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and rose the dead. And when he died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. What these unsaved heathen want the American public to believe is that because God's a God of love, that he's not a God of righteousness anymore, that he's not a God of judgment, that he doesn't hate sin. And that's what they want to blind you to, that God does hate sin, and God does demand righteousness. And Jesus Christ paid for our sins. That righteous payment was paid by him on that cross so that we wouldn't have to pay for it by going to hell for eternity, so that when you, by faith, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, the Bible says he comes in right then and there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. To believe in him means that you receive him as your personal Savior. You receive the payment he paid for you on that cross at Calvary. And the Bible says it's a free gift, Ephesians 2:8-9. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. John 1:12 and Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, which means you praying and asking Jesus to come into your heart. He'll come in, but it's a free gift. You've got to ask him to come in. And if you don't do that, you're going to die and go to hell, trusting your own works or somebody else's way of going to heaven. And the Bible says there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so go ahead, Pastor Rich, and finish up.
Yeah, that's the point being is, when we're talking about this to everybody, we need to be able to draw others to the God's bleeding side too. And when we talk about conversion, we're always, as Pastor Hal has said, you know, we want those that are listening to be converted, but we also know that there's a lot of believers that are listening. And during this time with what's going on with the government and everything, this is the time for us to reach out and try to touch the hearts of the unbelieving and see if you can get the message out. Preach the gospel to it. It's not the church's responsibility in the sense of when they assemble on the first day of the week. It's all week. And it's the church as the people. So don't depend totally on your pastor to teach the gospel. Everyone should be preaching the gospel. And Hal, you pass out a lot of tracts. I pass out tracts. That's a way to teach the gospel. There's all kinds of different methods, but these are the things that we're going to have to do. And the president, Trump, cannot do everything for this country, and he's not going to get it back to where it should be in 4 years. And this is where if the Christians unite and really get serious about preaching the gospel and giving the gospel message to the unsaved world, just think if everybody that's listening that is a Christian here would convert one other person. Just think about how many more Christians there'd be, how many more true believers there would be.
Amen. The Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself. And so it's a shame that people would actually go to that place by rejecting the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It's not real difficult. The work that Christ did was difficult, but all you need to do is to open up your heart and not harden it and accept as God is speaking right now. And I'm reminded of even what we started out with talking about Jonah, how he was running from the Lord, and actually he was asleep when they came and they got him. And the Bible says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So both to the unsaved and to the Christian that may be in a backslidden condition, and maybe you're not walking right with Christ, I hope you hear this, because it says that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering or in wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Listen, when you talk about lust, the Bible says that lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. We have to deal with our lust, but you need to understand what that scripture is talking about. You don't want to die in your sins. You don't want to die without accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, listen, we're not sitting here saying that we were all perfect, because the Bible clearly says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has made a way, as the word says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So I want to say to you, whoever you are tonight, if you hear his voice, if you hear that voice saying, you know what, I need to repent, I need to accept him as Savior, I need to let him into my heart. Listen, again, I say, don't harden your heart. For the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you feel that tug in your spirit tonight, I'm going to ask you to just quickly to just bow your heads and just pray with me. Father God, we come before you, Lord God. You know those that are on the air right now, those that are listening, Lord God, that are saying, you know what, I do want to make a decision to allow you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I am that one that hears your voice right now. I hear and I feel that tug. And so, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I believe that that you died. I believe that you rose again. And I believe that you sit at the right hand of the Father, even right now, making intercession for me. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean and set me free. Father God, we want to thank you right now for those that have prayed that prayer. You are faithful and just to forgive us, Lord God. You cannot lie, Father God. And we want to thank you for that one that has decided to give their life to you tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Very good.
Amen.
How much time do I have there?
Coming up on 5 minutes.
Okay. You know, one of the questions you get from people out there, especially these young, oh boy, college educated today, it's not like it was when we were going to college, is, well, you know what? The Bible's a good book. It's a good. It's got a lot of good stuff in it, but it's just one book, and Christianity is just one religion of many religions. So why should I believe? Why should I believe everything that we just said here tonight? Somebody say something.
Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe it because God's word is real.
But the Bible is true, and it's a science book. It's absolutely true mathematically. It's true in every way. There's nothing that's been disproved with what the Scripture says.
And it's the only book that has fulfilled prophecy. None of the other books do that.
That's right.
So you have over 1,800 prophecies. Mathematically, like you said, with all of our scientific abilities today, technology, we couldn't fulfill even three of the prophecies in Scripture.
Mm.
But, okay, so you have that. And, again, here, what makes it, I don't know why you believe, Richard, but God's never spoken to me. He's never spoken to me. So if he's never spoken to me, why should I believe that he has spoken to you guys?
Well, he speaks to our heart.
Yeah.
And he speaks through the word.
Yeah.
The Bible says the word became flesh and walked among us. So we know the way Jesus Christ is going to communicate to us is through the word.
Yeah, he created us, and he also said, my sheep, they hear my voice. So
yes.
The way we're created, we don't have to hear like an audible voice. It's just the way we are wired, the way we are created. You know when God is speaking to you.
So you know what you know that you know. So you have that peace that passes all understanding. I had a woman say to me one time, it just makes me so angry because you are so sure of what you're saying. You are so sure. Nobody can be so that sure of what they're saying. Why can I be that sure of what I'm saying?
Well, the other thing is, there, as far as the Bible, understanding the Bible is you have to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you to be able to understand the concepts of the Bible. But the Bible has never been proven wrong. Everything in there, accuracy, it's the history. It's also even the ark, the construction of the ark. They were still using that to build ships, the same measurements or dimensions.
Okay, so we go back and say, well, all of these artifacts that have been found over the years, exactly showing you exactly what God's Word in the Bible says, and what about the Shroud of Turan? Should I base my faith on all of those articles? Or all of those things that they found, should I say that's proof that gives the Bible credence, or do they receive authenticity by the Bible? One of them is the standard. One of them is the final authority. Is it all of the artifacts that have been found, or is it the Word of God?
The Word of God is the final authority. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, the Bible said Jesus, it's by what Jesus did also, like I said, he made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. cleansed lepers, walked on water, fed thousands of people with a few fishes and everything. Nobody else ever did that. Muhammad didn't do that one time in his life. Buddha didn't do that. None of the other religious leaders did that. The other religions of the world are totally bankrupt when it comes to comparing them with Jesus Christ.
Well, that's right. That's right.
I got to admit that I did walk on water a couple of times, but the water was frozen. But we're out of time for tonight, so it's time for us to say, thanks for being here with us tonight.
Thank you,
all you good folks out there. God bless.
God bless.
And good night.
Good night.
And
good
always. Let's do it. Ready? Keep fighting the fight.
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 Fight. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.